hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you'll hear the speech given by Dr. James Fetzer at the Left Forum in May of 2016. He was part of the panel called the Fabricated Global War on Terror, which was one of six panels addressing the deep state. James Fetzer is a McKnight Professor of Philosophy Emeritus at the University of Minnesota in Duluth. He's the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He's the editor of Assassination Science and co-editor of Assassination Research. He's also the author of several books, including one on the death of Senator Paul Wellstone. And here he is giving his speech at the Left Forum on the fraudulent global war on terror.
It establishes beyond any doubt that ISIS was made in the USA, sponsored by the American government, created to bring additional pressure upon the Syrian government in order to advance the agenda outlined by Wesley Clark during his speech to the Commonwealth Club on 3 October 2007 of taking out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran.
Here's the actual speech where Wesley Clark states this. And as you can see, the plans for all of the wars we're in were already on the books in September of 2001 and have been maintained and carried out by both Republican and Democratic presidents and their administrations, indicating the deep state is at work here.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
And now back to Jim Fetzer at the Left Forum.
As it happens, Russia has thrown a monkey wrench into that agenda, but not for lack of trying. All of this was a consequence of the orchestrated events of 9/11, which were arranged in large part to transform American foreign policy from one in which, at least officially, we never attacked any nation that had not attacked us first, the one in which we became the greatest aggressor nation in the world, together with our gallant ally in the Middle East, Israel. So to begin the record, which is not intended to be exhaustive, but to provide more than sufficient evidence to establish the key point that ISIS was made in the USA. One of the very first reports we had in the press was from Fars.
Here he's referring to FarsNews.com, an Iranian news outlet. I'd encourage you to check it out. They have a different perspective and cover in much more depth what's happening in Syria than any of our own Western news outlets. And now back to Jim Fetzer.
Describing the Iraqi army having shot down two UK cargo planes. Now, anyone who was paying attention, of course, would have been struck by this. I mean, the Iraqi army has been much maligned, but here it was shooting down two UK cargo planes, which was quite a feat. It made the international press, but not the American. And that was already on 23 February 2015. Within a week or so, we had another development reported again by FARS of the Iraqi Popular Forces shooting down an American helicopter. Now, it seems to me at this point already there ought to have been tremendous concern and apprehension that the situation was completely different than the American government was presenting, because it was becoming increasingly clear that the United States and the UK were deeply involved in supporting ISIS in its efforts. The next development occurred when we learned on 10 April that the United States, Britain, France, and Jordan were refusing to name ISIS as a separate terrorist group. We, of course, had been identifying Al-Qaeda and the Al-Nusra Front as terrorist organizations. They were well known to the United Nations. But this hesitation to identify ISIS as a terrorist group was extremely revealing, that the nations that were declining to do so were almost certainly involved in supporting ISIS itself. Meanwhile, we were getting increasing evidence that many American army personnel were involved in ISIS, particularly because there were so many reports and photographs showing them sporting U.S. Army tattoos, a most unlikely event had this been an indigenous movement of bona fide opponents of the Assad regime, as opposed to something constructed, supported, and aided by the United States, where among the many reports we have been that two retired American generals were directing ISIS. The next slide shows a stunning confirmation coming when Judicial Watch was able to obtain documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency that revealed that the United States itself had created ISIS in order to isolate the Syrian regime. This was published on 19 May 2015 and left no doubt about it. Judicial Watch at the time does not appear to have appreciated the enormity of what it had come across. But we have many reasons to be grateful to Judicial Watch for its ongoing efforts under Freedom of Information Act requests and other legal maneuvers to obtain information about the real actions of the American government, as opposed to the propaganda we received from the administration. The next slide shows that a former U.S. Army lieutenant who had been involved in PSYOPs by the name of Scott Bennett had already discovered that the United States was funding ISIS, not only from the U.S., but from several of the other Gulf states and Israel as well, on June 15th. And as if further confirmation were required, a former CIA contractor by the name of Stephen Kelly reported that the ISIS was part of a never-ending war intended to serve several purposes, breaking apart the countries, disrupting the people, and reducing their ability to stand up to Israel, which is a persistent theme we discover here, that the wars that followed 9/11 had nothing to do with the security threats to the United States, but were a matter of recruiting the United States to perform the dirty work for Israel of taking out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to its influence in the Middle East. Gordon Duff, the senior editor for Veterans Today, reported that the files of an aide to Senator John McCain had been hacked, and we had discovered videos of the faking of the beheading videos on a soundstage in either Tel Aviv or even Hollywood. This was further stunning confirmation that the American people were being subjected to an elaborate charade using Hollywood techniques to deceive the people. It was therefore rather remarkable when Time magazine, which of course is a mainstream publication, reported that ISIS was bringing arms and fighters in from NATO nations. Because Time is such a mainstream journal, this ought to have elicited a reaction from the major media throughout the country. And yet I am unaware of any report from CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, not even Fox News, to my knowledge, reported this remarkable development, which even Time magazine was confirming. In addition, on July 12, 2015, it was revealed that the Israeli government was exerting a considerable influence over the ISIS terrorist operations. Information about Tel Aviv's support for ISIS in Iraq and the regime's arms aiding the terrorists in Syria, as well as large-scale support from Saudi Arabia and Qatar in the process. The next slide reveals that by the 13th of August 2015, the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, was reporting that ousting Sadat would only benefit ISIS in seizing Syria, where, of course, the destruction of the government there was part and parcel of the agenda, and therefore was, from the point of view of the United States and its allies, devoutly to be wished. An article that would shortly appear in the New York Times gave a propaganda boost to ISIS as enshrining a theology of rape. This was very elaborate on August 13th, very detailed, and of course did a great deal more to demonize ISIS. Not that it wasn't a legitimate terrorist organization performing a great many atrocities, but further bolstering the official position of the government that we were opposing ISIS when actually we were supporting it. This was not the first time the New York Times was involved in addressing issues related to ISIS, needless to say, because about a year before, on September 11, 2014, it reported how John McCain was having trouble shaking off reports that he was involved in the creation of ISIS, about which, in my judgment, there is no serious doubt. ISIS is known in Washington, D.C. as John McCain's army, where he appears to have exerted considerable influence on the administration to bring about the creation of ISIS. For further confirmation that the United States was supporting ISIS, not opposing it, the next slide shows that Alexei Pushkov, the head of the Russian Parliament's International Affairs Committee, reported that the United States wasn't bombing ISIS, but actually was taking the occasion of using alleged attacks on ISIS to take out the superstructure of Syria, bombing bridges, roads, grain silos, and the like in order to weaken the government of Syria, and that the United States was simply lying to the American people, indeed, to the entire population of the world. By 19 October 2015, Vladimir Putin was revealing information that ISIS was being assisted by the American government. Russian General Staff Andrei Kardapov explained that photos of the area with bomb-destroyed buildings, there were no ISIS fighters. So they were doing bombing runs on non-ISIS targets and presenting them as though they had something to do with ISIS. Of course, by now we're all well familiar, as the next slide shows, that ISIS claimed responsibility for Paris, as many students have revealed. This appears to have been another propagandistic attack, like Charlie Hebdo, that was directed at France because the French people were too enthusiastic in their support for the creation of a Palestinian state in the wake of the attacks in Paris and Charlie Hebdo, of course. Rather draconian laws have been passed there, including very severe restrictions on any expression of criticism of Israel, which is very telling as to what was going on. Here's a fascinating report now from 19 November that the Syrian oil tanker drivers are warned before U.S. bombs are dropped on convoys transporting oil from Syria, principally to Erdogan in Turkey, which then is much of it given back to Israel or sold, making vast sums of money for Erdogan and his son. But this appears to be a reflection of the consciousness of guilt of Barack Obama, being aware that he was responsible for the creation of ISIS. He has leaflets dropped to warn the drivers they're going to be attacked. Then strafing runs are conducted to let them know this is serious, so they can get out of their trucks and not be harmed before any bombing takes place. As the next report reflects from 16 November 2015, Vladimir Putin has, right, ISIS is being financed by some 40 countries, including many of the G20. I mean, this is a complete outrage, and it's only Russia today that's reporting the truth about what's actually taking place here. So it's remarkable that when I was a young man, I was told that the Russian press was completely unreliable and untrustworthy. But it turns out you can learn more truth from Pravda than you can from the New York Times, more from Russia Today than you can from the Washington Post regarding these affairs. President Assad himself has explained that France, the UK, the US, and Saudi Arabia are all involved in supporting ISIS. There's no question but what his reports are accurate. Here's some quotes. When those countries that I mentioned, France, UK, US, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and some others, stop supporting the terrorists, things will improve. If you want to fight and defeat them, you have to cut and suffocate their supplies or armaments, money, coming mainly through Turkey and with the support of the Saudis and the Qataris. I think that the downing of the warplane, this is in the aftermath of the shooting down of a Russian jet, has shown the real intention of Erdogan, who, let us say, lost his nerve because the Russian intervention has changed the balance on the ground. Now, the next slide reveals something terribly, terribly important that the world needs to understand. All of these developments related to the creation of ISIS took place during the presidency of Barack Obama, who, of course, was elected in 2008 and will only step down next year, where Hillary Clinton became the Secretary of State in 2009 and served until 2013. Hillary not only supported the war in Iraq, she motivated the attacks on Libya, where Muammar Gaddafi was a benevolent dictator who was sharing the wealth of Libya with the Libyan people, national health care, national public education, taking on the great waterworks project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis, and where he was also introducing the gold dinar. She has now been revealed to have been deeply involved in Libya. Emails that are being revealed that show the true motives have nothing to do with the alleged abuse of Gaddafi of the Libyan people, where there was virtually no crime. Any medical problem that couldn't be dealt with in Libya, the government would fly the person with a friend or relative anywhere in the world, all expense paid by the Libyan government, national warehouses where anyone who needed food could go. This was, if not an idyllic society, certainly it was a close proximity where Gaddafi was expected to receive a humanitarian award from the United Nations just 3 weeks before the invasion, which was quite catastrophic. I've interviewed Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty, who were there at the time. They had developed an organic process for disposing of organic waste that was completely non-polluting and environmentally friendly, and they witnessed what was going on involved, say, being paid three times for the same body, first to kill them, then to chop them up, then to burn them, where rape became an all-pervasive instrument of war. And today, of course, as we well know, Libya is in chaos and a breeding ground for terrorism. Hillary has not only desirous of increasing the war in Syria. She's talked about bombing Iran at Dartmouth last year. She said when she became president, she'd be in the position to bomb Iran to annihilation. It's rather stunning that the Secretary of State seems not to know the history of the Iranian nuclear program. We're all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies concluded already in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, a conclusion they reaffirmed in 2011, where even the Mossad concluded that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, which they reported to the Israeli government 3 weeks before Benjamin Netanyahu went to the United Nations and asserted precisely the opposite. In addition, our sanctions on Iran were violations of Article 33 of the Geneva Conventions of 1949 that preclude the punishment of any individual for a crime they did not personally commit, so that we have been committing war crimes in Iran by virtue of our forms of collective punishment. I wrote to 97 members of the United States Senate with precisely the information I've just outlined here, and I received a response from one about an irrelevant subject. So it's very clear the American Senate is either unaware or completely culpable in these ongoing war crimes and offenses in the Middle East, including Iran. Moreover, Hillary is clearly a neocon and one of many members of the Obama government, including Victoria Nuland at the Department of State, Samantha Power at the United Nations, Ash Carter at Defense, Susan Rice as Obama's National Security Advisor, who are all committed to the neocon agenda. It's shocking that the American people are so unaware that Barack Obama himself is a neocon aggressively pursuing these wars in the Middle East, where the Nobel Committee made a colossal blunder in awarding him a peace prize. History will reflect he was the most undeserving recipient in history. New revelations from the emails have confirmed what I am reporting to you now, as the next slide reveals. This is from Hillary's actual email account that were being sent over unclassified servers, where the Inspector General for the Department of State has observed major violations of security protocol, where Hillary was instructed before she became secretary that classification is not a question of whether one of these documents is or is not stamped classified, secret, or top secret, but a function of the content. We even have a report now that in at least one instance, she instructed a correspondent to snowpack out the word secret before it was transmitted to her so she could maintain the false claim that she had never received or transmitted over her server any documents that were actually labeled classified. And where it turns out that a Romanian hacker was able to break into the account, he has reported that there were at least 10 others who were viewing the contents of her email server at the time. The Russians discovered this because he tried to hack into a Russia Today account, and the Russians now have been deliberating over whether or not to release 20,000 emails they have in their possession from Hillary Clinton's account. Here's a sample that I find particularly revealing. The best way to help Israel deal with Iran's growing nuclear capability is to help the people of Syria overthrow the regime of Bashar Assad. Back to Syria. It is a strategic relationship between Iran and the regime of Bashar Assad in Syria that makes it possible for Iran to undermine Israel's security, not through a direct attack, which in the 30 years of hostility between Iran and Israel has never occurred, but through its proxies in Lebanon, like Hezbollah, that are sustained, armed, and trained by Iran via Syria. The end of the Assad regime would end this dangerous alliance. Israel's leadership understands why defeating Assad is now in its interest. There's no question but what Hillary's emails confirm what I've been reporting here, to wit, that our involvement in the Middle East has been promote the interests of Israel, not that of the United Nations, which takes us back to Wesley Clark's report at the Commonwealth Club in California, which may be the most honorable act of his career. The fact that ISIS is capable of defeat, because we have learned that between February 1st and February 4th, the Russians conducted 900 hits on ISIS, 900 hits on ISIS in 3 days. And yet we have the complete absurdity of John Kerry issuing an ultimatum that was just published on the 3rd of May of 2016, that Assad must leave or suffer the consequences. Well, what possible consequences can he be talking about? I mean, this is bizarre in the extreme. When the United States is actually on the wrong side of the case, when the Russians are in the right, we've had nothing from the government but demonization of Russia. It would have been most appropriate to reach out to the Russians to join in the effort to defeat ISIS, were it not the case that ISIS is our own instrument of influence in the Middle East, where we continue to act not in the interests of the United States, but on behalf of Israel as its veritable agent, where Cynthia McKinney has revealed that when new members of Congress come to Washington, they're asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States, which is shocking in and of itself. Those who do not sign find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate during the next election, or may even discover that their district has been redrawn and they no longer have a seat. As my final slide, let me mention and praise Wayne Madsen, whom I regard as our nation's leading investigative journalist. Wayne has exposed one form of corruption after another, and I regard his Wayne Madsen reports as an invaluable source of information about what's really going on in the United States within the administration from sources, many of which are reluctant to come forward publicly, but where Wayne is able to reveal, in this instance, the shocking truth behind the Army of Terror in his new book, ISIS is Us. So my shout out to Wayne Madsen, whom I admire beyond words, and my grateful appreciation to all of you for affording me this opportunity to explain how we know that ISIS was made in the USA.
And again, you were just listening to Professor James Fetzer speaking at the Left Forum on the fabricated global war on terror. To see the full video, you can go to YouTube and search for James Fetzer and the Left Forum. Many people are pointing to the fact and the evidence that ISIS is a fabrication and is a creation of the CIA and its allies. Professor Michelle Chusadovsky of globalresearch.ca states in a September 2014 article called "The Terrorists Are Us, the Islamic State Big Lie," that, quote, "Under the auspices of the United Nations Security Council, with President Obama chairing the council session, the United States has called upon the international community to adopt strong measures at national and international levels to curtail the recruitment of Islamic State fighters. What is not mentioned in the media reports is that the heads of state and heads of government who have endorsed America's campaign against the Islamic State, advised by their respective secret services, are fully aware that U.S. intelligence is the unspoken architect of the Islamic State, which is part of a vast network of U.S.-supported jihadist terrorist entities. Countries are either coerced into supporting the U.S.-sponsored resolution or they are complicit in the U.S. terror agenda. Lest we forget, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, have been financing and training the ISIL terrorists on behalf of the United States. Israel is harboring the Islamic State on the Golan Heights. NATO, in liaison with the Turkish High Command, has since March 2011 been involved in coordinating the recruitment of the jihadist fighters dispatched to Syria. Moreover, the ISIL brigades in both Syria and Iraq are integrated by Western special forces and military advisors." This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.
Power to the people.